Greetings. My name is Reverend Anthony Kelly, and I am a pastor and teacher, author, entrepreneur, father, husband, grandfather, and host of the Shadows Project podcast. Throughout my 50 years of Christian ministry, prison ministry and criminal justice reform has by far been the most challenging. On this podcast, we will uncover the critical truths and justifications regarding prison ministry and criminal justice, and why it is important to the church and to our communities for engagement. Join me in hopes of spreading more awareness and recognition to this overlooked and mostly abandoned church ministry on the Shadows Project podcast. My fifth book, entitled Shadows, recently published by Westbow Press, serves as and provides the evidence-based practices on how to be an effective Christian witness, as well as a servant leader in the universal work of the kingdom of God, which, as you know, is to bring others to Christ so that they may know him and to know his power of deliverance, his power of transformation, and of course, of empowerment. So as you can see, I have 50 years of experience in this field of Christian ministry, helping to equip believers and parishioners to engage in meaningful and life-changing work in the body of Christ and in our communities. And so I'm just excited again to continue this Christian ministry training series. This is the third module of that five-piece training series that I shared with you on the last podcast. And my book embraces five of such kingdom principles, if you will, to guide believers in our charge to equip the saints for the work of ministry and to help build the kingdom of God, not alone, but to build it together here on earth, as it is in God's glorious and eternal abode of mystery, of majesty, and mastery. So my Shadows program presented in my book includes biblical and theological principles designed to inform, enlighten, equip, and encourage Christian workers like yourselves at all levels who serve in the shadows of greatness, maybe of others, in various forms of Christian ministry, and to continue showing how Christian ministry is most effective. That's the key point, that you all continue to be working in the shadows, and that effective ministry, when realized and performed in the context of the shadows, exemplifies all of that character and competence, commitment, and pride that God calls for to be a true servant leader. In embracing these kingdom principles, I want to focus on kingdom principle number three. And this one deals with servant leadership appointments and how they are based upon fitness and not favoritism. Again, they're based upon fitness or what we call competency and not on favoritism. And so you see that the quality of ability is always exemplified in competency. And you see competency, brothers and sisters, as the right method in terms of this serving in the shadows of ministry. And so as presented in the Markan text, in the Mark gospel, he talks about Jesus and how he exemplifies this servanthood and this, if you will, this serving with competency, and how we must be willing to first of all be able to perform the tasks, able to perform the duties and responsibilities of leadership, whose twin brothers, of course, is service. And Jesus always would advise his disciples who aspired to sit in seats of authority on the side of Jesus when he entered to his kingdom, that willing servants must first of all be able to perform the tasks, to perform the duties, and to perform the responsibilities. I see also in terms of this first idea, this first challenge of being able, of how ability plays a part in performing tasks, when you compare Moses, you remember Moses in the Old Testament, great leader. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 through 23, there's a principle there that we learn from Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, how age indeed played a part, how experience played a part in understanding the role of leadership. And if you recall in that text that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, saw all this great work Moses was doing, morning to night, administration, pastoral care, counseling, visitation, working in the community, being at the school board meetings, and all of those different tasks. And Jethro said, Moses, the way you're going to just work yourself out. He says, what you need to do is find you some able men, able people, able women, people who have the ability to help you in these tasks of ministry. And they will bring to you only the parts that you need, the heavy parts, the heavy stuff of shepherding and being the leader. But let them carry out the other tasks. And say, you would indeed last a little longer in this work. So the principle there that Jethro shared with Moses in terms of leadership was that the role of the leader is not to do all of the work, but the role of the leader is to see that the work is done. And that work is being done because there are able people, amen, who have the ability to carry out those tasks. And no doubt about it, when you look at Jesus, the Christ, as the model of genuine servanthood, which we do, that the first call to ministry is always the call to preparation. Even Jesus goes into the wilderness to learn, to be tempted, and to be tried before he stepped out on his own ministry. And of course, that is, the servant leader must have the proper education, proper training, and the experience so that he or she is able to serve not only where one is needed, but with this principle, to serve when you are needed. The kingdom principle number one encourages us to serve where we're needed. But here, principle number two, in terms of ability, is to serve when we are needed. And so the first significant thing that Jesus did once he appeared after being baptized by John the Baptist was to immediately do what? Go into the wilderness, where he had to undergo some training and preparation. If you see Luke chapter 4 especially, I love Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 4, Jesus the Christ engaged in what the great 20th century masters of spiritual growth and development, such as Howard Thurman and Richard Foster, called the inward spiritual disciplines. And Jesus goes into those spiritual disciplines of meditation, of prayer, of fasting, of solitude, and studying and ruminating on this call that he has been given by God the Father. And so the goal of all the spiritual disciplines, and we're going to have a whole series on spiritual development designed to help you to access the vision that God gave you. That's our fourth training series, and we're going to be dealing with this in more detail. These are just excerpts, if you will, that you'll find in the book Shadows in terms of these kingdom principles. But you can't deal with spiritual discipline if you don't deal with Dr. Howard Thurman. We must indeed engage in those writings of those very spiritual and dedicated men and women to understand this true calling to preparation. And so the goal of all of the spiritual disciplines, this is key, is to be able to hear God's voice in order to obey. We'll find, my brothers and sisters, we got to get away from the crowd. You got to get away from being in a hurry and get away from the noise of this busy worldly life and engage in the spiritual disciplines for the purpose. Check this out again. The whole purpose of all those spiritual disciplines is to be able to hear the voice of God and then obey. And we can't hear that voice if we're in a hurry, if there's a lot of noise, and if we're among the crowd. So the spiritual disciplines play an extraordinary key role in serving in the shadows. And so, serving in the shadows, as you see in the book, teaches that once you meet that standard of quality of ability, and that ability exemplified in competency, some people may try and reject you, and they may not like the way you look, they may not like the way you dress, they may not like where you grew up at or where you're from, they may not like you, etc. But they can never claim that you are not qualified. And I think that's extraordinary to understand that we can work through all of those other barriers against you. But when you're qualified, we believe that our gifts make a way for us. The gifts that God give us open doors that we might be true servants in his kingdom. And so the method of fitness, now that comes into this whole discussion in this kingdom principle number three, this notion of fitness, not only as ability, but fitness as competency, teaches that you never, for example, there's a kingdom principle where you never put little people in big seats, resulting in narrowing of the larger vision to his or her own narrow and limited experience and worldview, where which the goals and objectives will never be met. What do you mean, little people? I mean unqualified, people who don't have the competency. Sometimes we put these people, maybe friends and associates, we're doing a good deed on that level of trying to help somebody. But what you find in putting unqualified people in great seats of authority and responsibility is that they narrow the vision based upon their limited vision and their limited understanding, their limited experience, that will affect the outcome of where you really want to go with that work. And then on the other side, you don't put big people in what? In little seats. You don't put overqualified people in those little bitty seats of importance and authority, because what you find is the very opposite. And you'll find where an enlargement of the vision, an enlargement of the mission is expanded beyond expectation, beyond the goal, beyond the objectives, and beyond the capacity. And so you're still running into a problem in terms of outcomes, because that person has taken the work farther than it really needed to go. You don't put little people in big seats, and you don't put big people in little seats. And when you look at that, you look at something else. When you look at Jesus and his dealing with his disciples, you find that one must also be available. Not only able, but you got to be available to form the tasks, the duties, and responsibilities of leadership and service. Thus, one's ability or availability for service is the mark of what? Of true commitment. And serving with commitment, in this case, is the right measure of true service. It's the commitment that shows that's the measure that we use to determine whether the true servant will persevere in the faith. That is why at the church where I served for 16 years, the Greater First Church, where I organized and we served as pastor and teacher, we call these anointed and called out and competent and caring and committed persons, we call them servant leaders. And we do that with the word servant, receiving the greatest or greater emphasis. Oh, yes, I have learned over the years that genuine and able leaders cannot lead from behind. My former pastor, the late great Reverend Floyd Preston Piper of the First Baptist Church in Chicago on the West Side, used to say to us youngsters all the time, he said, you can't lead from behind. He says, when one is serving, we must be willing to serve not only where, but when we need it. Yet possessing the quality of ability exemplified in competency, without making oneself available to serve where and when needed is not even relevant. You can be the greatest doctor, the greatest brain surgeon in the world, but if you can't be available to perform that service, the greatness is irrelevant. Your power, your prestige, your privilege, your position, and all of that stuff is irrelevant if the servant is not available to serve. And so when we look at this kingdom principle number 3, this servant leadership based upon fitness, based upon competency, we have to thank God that we're able to serve in his kingdom. And I thank God. I always thank him for another learning about serving in the shadows. And I experienced early in my preparatory wilderness experience at Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary, located on the campus of Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. Etched in my memory of those 3 years at that seminary, I vividly recall in my pastoral care and counseling class that we as students were discussing the character and the consequences of Christian ministry. And many of us from various backgrounds and denominations and faiths and so forth, many of us were highlighting our personal challenges in ministry. Some of us were already young pastors. And we were discussing and our schedules and our appointments and our plans and the pressures and the privileges and personality types in our churches that we had to deal with, that we had on and on and on this conversation. We were just going on and on and on about our concern. And this went on until Professor Clinton McNair, God bless him, in that pastoral care ministry, he abruptly and he angrily interrupted our self-aggrandizement and the tall tales with the pounding on his large wood table. I never forget that big fist pounding on his wood desk, stopping those conversations. And still now, after 40 years, I can still hear Dr. Clinton McNair exclaiming to that class, and I quote, he say, ministry is not about your needs. It's about the needs of others that you serve. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I have heard that. That's a reminder to every servant leader that it's not about our needs. It's not about our schedules. It's about the needs of others that we serve. And those extraordinary words of compassion, they were full of care and concern, were shared by our professor so that we as students would get it right, that we would get it right as we were placed in positions of leadership that would impact whole communities where we would serve. We were being trained not just to be pastors, but to be leaders in communities. And this was, and hopefully still is, the tradition of Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary, to not simply train students on how to be good pastors, but to train leaders of and within our communities. And I continue to practice that learning in the wilderness of my journey towards greatness as I humbly and faithfully, as I know you do, serve in the shadows. And so this shadows training program that I have in my book, Shadows, will not only help you implement and sustain effective programs for your church ministry, but it will aid and strengthen the overall mission and ministry of your church because of the trained and committed Christian workers who undergo this spiritual discipline of true service found in these five kingdom principles. And by implementing this Shadows program in your church, it will coincide with your human resources department, allowing your church to create more committed and dedicated Christian workers and enhance and advance, hopefully, your evangelistic outreach efforts. Oh, yes, brothers and sisters, to begin the process of establishing your own Shadows program in your church, please sign up at the form below this page so I can send you all of the necessary information you will need. And I tell you, I'm so grateful that I thank you for your time. And remember to continue to pray, continue to plan to be safe, and definitely continue to persevere. I do eagerly look forward to talking to you again. God bless you.